This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anybody get that text this morning? We sent that text out to our mass text list this morning, and man, what a message, right? Just a great feeling. That's how I feel. Man, Jesus is alive and well, and we love celebrating him here at Promised Land. I'm glad, so glad each and every one of you are here with us this morning. Welcome to the Promised Land. I'm Robin Steele, the lead pastor here, and it's a privilege. It's an honor to have you here in our home. All the old folks and all the new folks, both of you. How many of y'all, this is your very first Easter at Promised Land San Marcos? Would you mind raising your hand just for a second? Wow, welcome. How many of y'all, any of y'all, this is your 13th Easter? We've had 13 Easters here at Promised Land. One, two, okay, two of y'all. The very first Easter, we had 178 people at that worship service, and we thought that was just an amazing feat of God, and it was for 1 year into it. But today, this is our third service. The last service was completely full, like this service is. And if you guys have any new people walk in, we have this whole front row open right over here. So we're going to clap for them as they walk all the way down to the front, all right? Oh, man. Amen. All right. Let's welcome everybody that's online this morning. We got people that are watching from all over the place on our online streaming, and some of them are listening via podcast. So let's welcome them into Promised Land San Marcos. Everybody that's out there, we're glad you're joining us this morning. One of my good friends that pastors in San Francisco sent me a text this week, and it said, I feel sorry for the doctors, lawyers, politicians, counselors, news anchors, and CEOs who regularly have to give bad reports and bad news to their constituents. We, on the other hand, get to stand before God's children each and every week and declare wonderful news to everybody in the congregation. And so what a privilege that is as a pastor to be able to do that today. I don't make as much as CEOs and lawyers and politicians and all those, but I would gladly trade that for what I get to do today. We're created by God. At Promised Land San Marcos, we just start with that concept. We believe that at our core, that we were created by God. In fact, there's a scripture, Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, the 27th verse. It says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Then verse 28, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it." This was a big, big script. This is a big, big scripture. It really sets up the original plan for humanity, that we were to oversee the world, govern it, reign over it, the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. We were actually like God at the very beginning. We were extraordinary. We were not ordinary like we are today. We were different. We looked like God. Humans acted like God. Humans had his characteristics. They weren't like the humans that we have today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good, but you don't look like God. You dressed up, you got the new tie, you got the new clothes or whatever it is, but you still ain't God, all right? You still just dressed up, as my pastor would say, a glorified mud ball is really what you are, human. Something happened, something changed that made humans go from extraordinary, God-like, God-looking, God-acting to us, humans, ordinary. And this is not just your neighbor, this is you too, right? Because you're a neighbor too. Somebody looked at you as well. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you see yourself and you see who you are as a person, sometimes it's very humbling, very difficult to look at. So how did this happen or why did this happen? It's described in Romans, the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse. This one passage really sums it all up very well. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man. Jesus Christ is that one man. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Because Adam sinned, it set off this cycle of ordinary to all the people that were born after Adam. It brings us into condemnation. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. And then let's skip to verse 21. It says, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace, everybody say grace. Grace. God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That one word, grace, is what really this sermon's about. It's what this sermon series is about. Here at Promised Land, we have sermon series. So today's the beginning, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this message of grace and extraordinary and how the grace of Jesus Christ brings extraordinary into the ordinary. That word grace is from the original Greek word. The Bible was first, the New Testament was first written in Greek, and the word they used in Greek was charis, which means the divine influence in the heart that's unseen inside of you, the divine influence in your heart and its reflection in your life. So in other words, the grace of Jesus comes into your life and no one can see it, no one knows about it, but maybe you when you first receive it. But then the grace of God works itself out so that everybody else can see this amazing picture of what God has done in your life, in your thinking, in your habits, in your existence. That's what the grace of God does for us. Basically, what Romans 5 is saying is that the grace of Jesus brings back the extraordinary. The grace of Jesus takes ordinary people like you and me and makes them extraordinary for the sole purpose of building his kingdom. The grace of Jesus Christ is ready and available to everybody in the room here today, everybody watching online today. The grace of Jesus Christ takes ordinary people like you and me and makes us extraordinary. Not for our own purpose, not so that we can get rich quick or always be healthy or have our most wildest dreams come true. He's not Santa, all right? He's God. He's not a fairy. He's not the genie coming out of the bottle giving you three wishes. This is Jesus Christ, the man of God, the Son of God, and he has come to bring you into his story. He's here to take your ordinary and make it extraordinary. He's here to bless you and equip you, but not for your own purpose, not for you to cycle. Like, we're all cycling around something. We have an axis, and our life is revolving around something. And so he's not here to bless you and make you extraordinary so you can just keep on cycling around yourself off into the world beyond. No, he's here to bring you into his story, wherever or however you're cycling around, whatever. He's here to bring you in. He died for you that you could come into his purpose, his story, and begin to live out his purpose. We live in a world that's so broken. We live in a world that's so confused and messed up and disconnected, and there's so many things that we don't like about our world, and we're still living here. We're still living in this world. Jesus has come to help us live in this world until one day when his work that he accomplished on the cross and the empty grave will come to its full fruition. There is going to be a day where everything is perfect. There is going to be a day when we all live on streets of gold, and this world is going to be renewed, and heaven and earth will be together, and we will be with Jesus for eternity. It's going to be an awesome, 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 awesome thing. That's going to happen. But until that happens, we're still here, right? We're still on this earth, and God wants to activate you. He wants to save you first from yourself, your selfishness, and then he wants to bring extraordinary into your life. Jesus is bringing it back. He's bringing back extraordinary to us, to humanity. And he does this in three key ways. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to break these points down. We're going to take a whole week for each one of these points, but today I want to give them to you relatively quickly. And the first one is this: his grace, the grace of Jesus, empowers you to face pain and difficulty in extraordinary ways. Now, I know in a congregation, in an audience this size right here, right now, that there's many of you that are facing pain and difficulty right now. I don't have to be a prophet to say that. I don't have to be a psychic to say that. That's just percentages. I just know with a crowd this big that some of you got a bad diagnosis this week, or some of you are facing financial difficulty, or some of you may have a spouse that's ready to walk out on you. There's all different things that are going on in people's lives in the congregation here today that are painful and difficult. I'm here to tell you good news today. No matter what pain, no matter what difficulty you face, the grace of Jesus Christ is here to help you face that pain and face that difficulty. You may not be delivered from it immediately. You might have to walk through it for a time, a season, a month, 2 months, several years. You might have to walk through some difficult times, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that alone. The grace of Jesus Christ is going to come into your life and empower you to face any situation in an extraordinary way. Amen. So my wife and I, we have three kids, a 14-year-old, 12-year-old, and 11-year-old. And a few years back, we rented a 32-foot Winnebago, the kind that you drive, and we drove it all the way from San Marcos to North Carolina. It took us 14 days to get there and back. It was an incredible, extraordinary vacation. And we like to take vacations. We save money. We spend a bunch of money to go on trips because they create such great memories for our family. And we like to do exciting things with our kids. And so that's what we did. We rented this RV, first time we ever did this. And we headed out across the country, and it really was a test of faith as we journeyed out there. There was this one time, I didn't tell the other services this, but I remember this one story on the trip, when we were late for a meeting, and I was driving this huge RV through the backwoods of Georgia, and the road was just barely wide enough for the RV, and we were late, it was at night, it was raining, and I was driving that thing, and that sucker was like going back and forth like this, and Erica was like, had her nails like digging in. And she's like, you better slow down right now. And so we finally get over there. We're at some friend's house on the outskirts of Atlanta. We're swimming in their neighborhood pool, having a really good time. And then as the day went on, we decided we want to go into downtown Atlanta to see the Georgia Aquarium. So we loaded up the kids, took off. We went into Atlanta. It took us about an hour to get there through all the traffic and everything. And then we were in downtown Atlanta, and we're trying to find a parking spot for a 32-foot Winnebago. It was so hard to find a spot. We finally found one. In fact, I'm so proud of my parking spot. I've got a map here. I want to show you where the spot that I found. So that blue spot at the bottom is our parking spot, and that red dot up at the top is the museum. And that green space, that's a really cool park. That's the Olympic Park in downtown Atlanta. Well, the blue spot where we found our parking spot was kind of on a shady part of downtown area. We pull into the parking lot and we start getting out of the RV. And some of you may not know this, but our daughter is unable to walk. So we have a wheelchair for her. And so Erica's like about to put her in the wheelchair and she's looking around. She says, "Where did you put the wheelchair?" I said, "I thought you got the wheelchair." What are you? The wheelchair was at the pool, at our neighbor's pool, our neighborhood pool, not even at their house. So we called them, "Please hold it. We'll come get it tomorrow." What are we going to do now, though? We're downtown Atlanta. What are we going to do? So she had the bright idea of calling the aquarium and asking if they had a loaner wheelchair. Some places have loaner wheelchairs. So they said yes. So we said, "We're going to do this. We're going to go to the aquarium." So I get, you know, we get out of the RV and I carry my daughter all the way to the Georgia Aquarium. She cannot walk. And so I'm going to just tell you, by the time I got to the aquarium, I felt like the greatest dad of all time. All right. I was like, come on. I think I grew a beard on the way to the aquarium, if I remember correctly. So we get to the aquarium, and they pull out this wheelchair that's about this wide. A small elephant could sit in this wheelchair. My daughter's like this wide, and the wheelchair was this wide. So we had this great idea. Take a look at this picture. This is what we did. I went ahead and sat in the wheelchair, and, you know, hey, you got to get creative. So we're just, look at that picture. I mean, that we're just enjoying the aquarium, everything. If you're ever there, you should go to the aquarium. It's a beautiful place, beautiful place. We enjoyed it until they closed and we were leaving. And so I picked her up, walked all the way back 4 blocks. We're doing well. We started getting close to the RV and I'm like, "Babe, please, I'm tired. I'm starting to sweat. Veins are popping out everywhere. I'm like getting really, really tired and can't hardly get it." And I said, "Reach in my pocket and get the key so we can get into the RV. I just want to hurry up and lay her down." Some of y'all know where I'm going with this already. She starts digging in my pocket. Key's not in my pocket. There was a hole in my pocket. She did find a hole. The key was who knows where. It was out. So we turn around and walk all the way back to the aquarium, and we're looking in bushes, we're picking up people's picnics, we're like trying to find this key wherever we can find it. We didn't leave any stone unturned. We get all the way back to the aquarium, knocking on the door, "Please let us in. We're from Texas, we're in an RV, we lost our key." Giving them this whole story, they finally let us in, and we go through scavenging around the dark. They had turned all the lights off, and we're trying to have our cell phones out, trying to find the keys. In the dark, we don't find it anywhere. So finally, we have to have that bad decision of, it's not here. They're not here. We didn't find it. So pick her back up, take all the way back to the RV the second time. By now, it's dark outside. We're worried for our life. We're trying to figure out if we're going to live. Did God call us to Atlanta to take our life? And Pastor Will's going to take over the promised land. And we're just like barely. Say, "Let's call a locksmith." So we call a locksmith. It's going to take a long time for him to get there. Once he finally gets there, he picks a lock to the outside door of the RV. But this is a fancy RV. It has a separate key for the ignition, and that has a special chip or something in it. And he doesn't have that technology So he can't give us a key for the RV, so we have to call another locksmith. It takes another 2 hours for him to get there. All the while, we're huddled up. In fact, I got a picture of the RV in that parking lot. There we are, huddled up inside of that thing, praying, Lord, please keep us safe. You know, please help us. You know, who knows? Maybe somebody found the key. They're going to come try to take the RV or something like that. And we're waiting. At midnight, it's midnight. The locksmith is still not there yet, the one that hopefully is going to make us the key. And we start hearing this. I didn't know I could beatbox like that. Come on, somebody. So that was a lame one. I can do much better than that. But anyway, that's what we heard outside. And I cracked the window of the little mini vines in the RV. I look outside. There's a scantily clad woman dancing on top of a Camaro outside of our RV. There's lights. There's cameras. They're shooting a rap video outside of our RV. This is the truth. I'm not making this up. This was exactly what happened. Finally, at 1:30 in the morning, a locksmith came, turned that thing on. Man, we're like, oh. He said, it's going to be $350. We said, take our youngest kid, take whatever, just give us the key. We went, we drove out of that parking lot that day. We headed outside of town. We went to the nearest Walmart on the suburbs of Atlanta. We pulled in there and we spent the night in the parking lot of a Walmart. And we were just so glad to be safe and on our path and back on our journey. And so I just want to tell you, if you ever see an RV in the parking lot of a Walmart, just stretch your hands over there and say a prayer for those people. You never know what they just went through. That's extraordinary. But let me tell you something, what's extraordinary? The extraordinary part is that the bad part of that story had nothing to do with our daughter. It had nothing to do with the fact that she's unable to walk or talk or eat or even sit up on her own. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's never said our name or never expressed herself verbally to us. It has nothing to do with the fact that she has to be fed, she has to have 24-hour nursing care. It has nothing to do with that. The extraordinary part is that Erica and I are amazing parents. Go ahead. The fact that we love each other. The fact that we like each other. The divorce rate is high in America. It's much higher for parents of special needs kids. I'm not here to brag on me or Erica. I'm here to brag on the grace of Jesus. If it was not for the grace of God, you would not know me as you know me. You would not know her as you know her. It's by the grace of God. And we see this displayed all the time when we meet someone new outside of our house and they've never met Kennedy, our daughter. And that we just hanging out, we're meeting, talking, having fun, as you know, all this. And then they meet her a week later, a month later, or whatever, and they're just sitting there scratching their head. How are you so okay and normal? And you're, wow, your daughter is so amazing. You're so strong. You're so normal. You're so, how is this that by the grace of God, I am who I am? I'm the pastor who I mean, it's by the grace of God that I'm standing up here before you today speaking to hundreds of people. I was the shyest kid in the class. If it wasn't for the grace of God empowering me to be up here with you right now, I wouldn't be here. It's by the grace of God. This scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:7, love this scripture. Now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. That's the scripture. That's the story of my life. That's the story of Erica's life. This extraordinary power is from God. It's not from us. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are pressured in every way, too. I tell you that. It's not all balloons and fairies and My Little Pony and all that. It's some difficult times. Raising any kid, can I get a witness on that? Let's look at verse 8. You might be pressured in every way, but you're not going to be crushed by the grace of God. You might be perplexed this week, but you're not going to be in despair because of the grace of God. You might be persecuted, but by the grace of God, you will not be abandoned this week. You might be struck down. I'm speaking to you here today. You might be struck down, but by the grace of God, you will not be destroyed. I'm speaking good news to somebody up in here today that's gone through some pain and some difficulty, and you've been wondering if you could make it. I'm here to speak good news into your life today. You're going to make it. It's not going to be because you've learned something. It's not going to be because you've figured it out. It's going to be because the grace of God empowers you to do it. It's going to blow your mind. Verse 10, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. We who live are always given over to death because of Jesus so that Jesus's life may be revealed in our mortal flesh. His grace is sufficient to everybody in here today that's going through pain and difficulty. Number two, his grace delivers us from the grip of sin addiction. The grip of illness, diseases, viruses, flus, chronic sickness. He delivers us, the grace of God delivers us from demonic influence, spirits of darkness, principalities, evil places. The grace of God can deliver you if you're going through this. I could try to tell you the story of Jerry McDonald, but he can do it much better in his own words. Check this out.
I had so much hate in me, anger. I didn't trust people. I didn't want them around me. I mean, to me, I trusted you as far as I could throw you through a door. I was an alcoholic. I would drink a case of beer to a day. Just, you know, I would drink until I passed out at night. And then when I'd go home on the weekends, I would just continue to drink. And I got pulled over one night, and it was my fourth DUI. There was a jailer there, and he was a really, really nice man. And he was the one that talked to me about God all the time, Christ. And I just started reading the Bible while I was locked up. The peace of Christ that I had was always comforting me. I was always enveloped in it. You know, I could always tell that God was with me. I mean, just, you know him when you know it. You know that he's there. You know that he's always got you. The doctor came in and told me, he said, you're going to die and there's nothing we can do for you. And I'm saying, man, I don't want to die, especially not in prison, you know. And so I started praying and I started asking God, you know, to heal me. I didn't want to die in prison. So I was sitting there, and 6 weeks later, and they came in and took an x-ray. And I was sitting in there, and the lady came in, and she looked at the x-ray, and she looked at me, and she asked me my name and my number, and I told her, and she looked at the x-ray again and looked at me, and left, came back, and here comes this old doctor that told me I was going to die. He says, Mac, he says, there's no lesion, there's no tumor. We can't even tell there was ever one there. The only thing we know is it's on your x-ray from before, but that's gone. And I told him, I said, God heard. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would still be addicted to drugs. I would still be an alcoholic. I would still hate people. I wouldn't want to be close to nobody. Be lucky if I was alive. I really would be. I went through 30 years of drug addiction and alcoholism without any kind of withdrawal when I quit. I didn't even DTEs, nothing like that. And I just took it away. I learned how to love again, how to trust people, to know that God wants us to love people. He don't want us to sit back in the corner and hate. You don't have to keep going back. You don't have to keep letting your addictions dictate your life. The people around you dictate your life. you follow God and you look through Christ to see the things that he sees, there's always a way out. He's always going to provide a way out. This is what I want. I want people to see that your grace, your glory is what gets me through each and every day.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say. I love my Lord. And believe me, if I went on camera, I'd probably be crying. But yeah, God has been good to me.
Amen. He really has. Amen. 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 Man, I love that story. Jerry and his wife, Jo, are such an integral part of our church, and we're so blessed and proud of what God is doing in their life. And last summer, as you know, San Marcos went through an incredible flood, and Promised Land was there to help so many people. In fact, almost 100, we adopted about 100 families to shepherd and pray over and help. And the backbone of that was Joe and Jerry McDonald. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, that wouldn't happen. So thank you guys so much for what you've done. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son, Jesus, remains forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And if God could do it for Jerry McDonald, he can do it for you. You don't have to look at an impossible situation and think that you're a slave to it. It doesn't matter how deep or how dark or how difficult that situation is. Jesus Christ defeated the power of darkness. He defeated death and hell and the grave. And if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ and take on his story and his life, you're going to see the grace of God deliver you from all kind of things, all kind of things. Amen. The third thing is this: God's grace excels us in our talents, skills, and abilities beyond our experience or our education. So we believe in getting good experience. We believe in good education. God's going to take what you have, and he's going to excel it for his kingdom. Check out this story of another man in our church.
In 2006, it was a very, very dark time in my life. I went through a very difficult divorce, and during the course of the divorce matter, I basically found myself in jail in Rikers Island in New York City. And a lot of you may not know Rikers Island or what that entails, but I spent 4 days there, and there were what I like to call probably the four hardest days of my life. I felt that my soul was kind of crushed, and I had done a lot of good things in my life, and I didn't feel like I deserved to be there. And I found myself there, and I think a lot of times in life that happens to people. And so I questioned my faith, I questioned God's plan for me, and I questioned a lot of things during those 4 days. There was about 20 guys in that jail cell with me. And when it got quiet, I did what I could do to pray, and that just involved kind of closing my eyes and just asking God for help. And so I kind of gave up and said, "I need help." And I certainly received it in more ways than I could have ever dreamed of. I had slowly begun the recovery to kind of walking along, I think, God's path for me. I'd begun dating again and starting to trust in God's plan and his plan for love in my life. But I was becoming frustrated with relationships. And in the course of working in the hospital, I ran across a nun, and she stopped me dead in my tracks, basically. I got a devotional book from her, and she, because she just found me in the hallway, she said, "You don't look good. You look troubled." And she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I'm just frustrated. I've been through my latest breakup and short relationship, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm wondering what God intends for me again." We prayed, and an hour later I was introduced to my wife, and I found a person who not only values me but values God above everything else. I'm currently the director of interventional cardiology at Central Texas Medical Center, and I work for Austin Heart. And this was the only interview I took. It's the only place I visited and the only job I ever thought about. I think my ultimate healing moment really happened actually in August of 2014 when I got baptized in the San Marcos River. Something was said to me by Pastor Robin, which just basically kind of summed up my life until that point, and was something that I think was pretty anointed and special for me. We had barely known each other, but somehow he knew my whole life, I don't know how, and said just the right words. And at that point, I came up from that water, I just felt totally different. And I think my life was totally healed at that point from all the kind of trauma from before. Family's very, very important to me, and I have a wonderful wife now with Liz and a beautiful baby and Rachel. And we're so excited because we are extraordinarily blessed to be moving into a new home. It's our first home because I'm from New York and I've lived in apartments my whole life. So hopefully I can manage it, but it'll be our first home and we're really, really excited about that.
Amen. I've heard people in other services, that's my doctor. I didn't know. And man, it's just awesome what God has done in Dr. Cedrone's life. And what do y'all say? We have a housewarming party over there. We just all go over there this week and just bomb them. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined or conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And I don't know if you are just falling in love with God or maybe you haven't yet to do so. You don't have to be on the outside looking in. Today you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. And you're going to begin today. And look what it says in 1 John 4:17. It says, and as we live in God, that's this growing process. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on that day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Could you imagine going up and facing God who has never made a mistake? He knows every single dark secret about your life. He knows every thought you've thought about whoever, bad, good, and ugly. He knows everything. And you're going to face this God at some point and have an account or record for your life and give an account of your life. But look what this scripture says. It says, we don't have to be afraid on that day of judgment. We don't have to be afraid, but we can face him with confidence, not because of what we have done on our own, but because we live like Jesus. He empowers us with his amazing grace. He empowers us to be extraordinary. He brings us his righteousness. And I want to end with this one little screen here. By the grace of God, I blank. And I want everybody in the 11 o'clock service this morning to think about what that blank is for you. Some of you already know. You may be like Jerry or Tony or myself or other people in here that say, by the grace of God, I know I wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for him. By the grace of God, I am, I was, I am, I will be, whatever. You know, but there's some of you in here today, you don't know what that line is. You haven't even really thought about it because you didn't realize that it was accessible and available for you to understand and be a part of. Extraordinary. What would extraordinary be like for you in your life? What would it be like if the grace of God empowered you, equipped you, protected you, healed you by the grace of God? You could say, by the grace of God, I'm going to finish school. By the grace of God, I will raise some good kids. Amen. We need some help on that one. By the grace of God, I will support my family. By the grace of God, I will overcome this addiction that I have. By the grace of God, I will be successful at my job. By the grace of God, I will be a man or a woman of integrity. By the grace of God. If I'm by myself, I have no clue. But by the grace of God, I'm going to be an overcomer and a conqueror. I'm going to be extraordinary by the grace of God. Would you stand with me here right now? Let's close in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes and bow your heads. We're going to close in prayer right now. I'm speaking to a bunch of different folks here right now. I'm speaking to the mass, but I'm speaking to the individual right now too. I'm speaking, God's speaking to you individually. You realize that God could have put that video in there for one person. I edited that video and I cut about 20 minutes of both of those interviews down to 3 minutes. There's a lot of stuff laying on the editing floor. But the clips that got in there, I believe were heaven sent. God put that clip in there for you. He wants to bring good news to your life. He wants, some of you are struggling in a divorce or a separation. You're a single adult. You're wondering if you ever find love again. And you're wondering if that could ever happen. Some of you are struggling in a career and you think you're never going to make it to the place where you know God wants you to be. I'm here to tell you that by the grace of God, all things are possible. In His will and His timing and for His purpose, He can make it happen. But first and foremost, we have to lay down our agenda and our life and surrender to Him. So let's do that right now. And I'm a firm believer in you praying your own prayer. I don't want to pray for you. In fact, I can't pray this kind of a prayer. You have to pray it. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you just simply say things like, Lord, I give you my life today. Please take my life today. I surrender to you today. Jesus Christ, I trust that you're the Lord of my life. I trust that you're the King. I trust that you're my Savior. Would you say things like that to Him? Would you just, if you're ready to get into His story and surrender your life to Him, would you just say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin today. Please take away the sin of my life and cleanse me from the inside out. I welcome your grace to impact me. And those dark places that no one knows about, that I've tried to forget and tried to never bring back up. I just tried to ignore them so they would go away. Jesus, come now to every part of me, every section of my life, every memory, Lord. Help me. By your grace, I will be an overcomer. By your grace, I will not be a statistic. By your grace, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's confess our faith in Him right now and our attention to Him and our devotion to Him. Lord, we give you our life today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me say this real quickly before you leave. If you're here today and you have yet to be baptized into the family of God, we're going to be doing baptism right now. In fact, we've already baptized 6 today, and we're going to be baptizing more folks today. You may not have come realizing you'd be baptized. That same thing that happened with Tony when he got in the water can happen to anybody else. God can move in your life and transform your life. At Promised Land, you don't have to go through a class or sign up on a piece of paper, pass a test, or do anything else. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you're ready. So we've got clothes and towels and water and pastor. And we'll just pray with you. If you want prayer, we'll pray with you up here at the front as long as you'd like. If you'd like to be baptized, make your way down as well. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. You're dismissed. Be blessed. And then we'll see you here next Sunday. We love you.
Come set your rule and reign.